Right now, I'm walking towards the Maritime Museum, and to my right is one of the largest floating historical vessel collections in the world. I'm Narlene Master, and welcome to the 8th episode of Outside Inside Sydney Town, where we'll be exploring the Maritime Museum, a place with significant geographical presence next to the Pyrmont Bridge. Built in 1991, the Australian National Maritime Museum upholds the historical traditions of the landmark Sydney Harbour. Let's hear from Bill Harris, Head of Programs and Site Activation, about the Maritime Museum.
What's unique about the Maritime Museum, and unique for many in the world actually, is our floating fleet of vessels. So when you come to Pyrmont Bridge or you're in Darling Harbour, it's very hard to miss. You know, there's a warship, there's a submarine, there are some 18th century wooden sailing vessels.
A visit to the Maritime Museum is an immersive one, as you can climb aboard warships, submarines and historical boats. This experience is made possible because of curators and experts like Peter Tassel, the Head of Learning, Public Engagement and Research at the museum.
We also are great advocates for the value in touching, feeling, smelling, the use of all the senses in creating memorable experiences for people. And that really plays into our, I guess, our educational philosophy on site, you know, which is really about creating experiences that generate memories for people.
These experiences continued during the pandemic. As while it shifted to the online realm, it still captivated the attention of many, allowing them to stay connected to the venue. One of the people who led the shift to the digital space is Emily Jatef, Science and Technology Curator.
Lockdown was hard for all of us, right? And for museums, it's particularly difficult because all of a sudden, as a forward-facing institution, you just don't have your audience anymore. So for a lot of us, we're like, oh my gosh, what? You know, you miss those physical day-to-day interactions as you miss just even seeing your friends. So a lot of the work that we did pivoted to online.
Gave us a chance to really focus on the way that we digitally engage with community members around the country.
That's Matt Pohl, Manager of Indigenous Programs at the Maritime Museum.
The way that, you know, some of the most marginalised communities in the country have adapted to online meetings and things like that, for example, has actually opened up all these new interesting opportunities for consultation, which don't require us to travel around the country, wasting resources in terms of visiting places. We can have real-time conversations and move a lot faster, bring more voices into the museum. So there's been some real positives you can look to.
It's spaces like this that are imperative for our education to serve us as agents of change. However, museums haven't always presented an accurate historical account of our nation.
When you look at the role museums in Australia played in the late 19th and throughout the 20th century in sort of constructing this idea of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture using anthropology or archaeology, they authored an entire history of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture, which was spoken on behalf of the people themselves.
Decolonising of museums, their collections and the stories they tell has been a really important movement of the last couple of decades now, probably. Our institution takes that really seriously.
There's a lot to overturn. You know, museums have played a role in that misconstruction of the past, but they're also playing a powerful role now in transforming the ways that not only Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture is represented in museums, but the way museums themselves operate.
The museum serves the local community by presenting a changing program of stimulating exhibitions and events to share Australia's maritime history and connect the stories, objects, people and places that are part of our country's narrative.
So we try to ensure that everything we do has a local presence. We rely a lot on our volunteers, many of whom live locally. So it's a chance for local people to come down and feel part of the museum.
To see things slowly opening up and to see huge school groups in the museum and, you know, a slow trickle of international tourists coming through as well is actually one of the highlights of the recent months of watching things slowly turn around.
Now that people are waking up a little bit, that's what it feels like, doesn't it? Waking up a little bit and going, all right, I want to go out again. I want to explore my city and I want to see what we have to offer.
One of the things that we talk about in a lot of our team is, you know, let people get their hands wet. that doesn't have to be literal, but it's sort of a, I guess, a philosophy to get people using their hands, feeling, smelling. That's the type of thing that generates the memory in the mind, and that's really what we want from a visit to our site.
This episode was made in Sydney, which sits on the Gadigal land of the Eora Nation, whose sovereignty was never ceded. I'd like to thank Bill Harris, Peter Tassel, Emily Jatef, and Matt Pohl for sharing their perspectives. This episode was produced by Oscar Byrne and myself with the support of the City of Sydney, Don Romeo, and 2SER. A special thanks to James Court for supplying the music. I'm Nalin Master, and thank you for listening to this episode of Outside Inside Sydney Town.